He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
It is indeed, and this is, show is taped during a week where we had our first major snowstorm, and it brought out a lot of great memories of the past in the last decade when we used to get storms like what we had over this particular weekend. But it did bring to light the dangers of driving in heavy snow. We mentioned a little bit of it on a recent show, previous show, and since the big snow, which got cleared up relatively quickly by the towns and the states in a very fine fashion, in my opinion, we had a little bit of a dusting a day or two later, and that dusting brought out a type of snow which really turned my eyes or my knowledge base into driving on snow into a new level that I hadn't experienced lately, mostly because I think it was a combination of about what amounted to a thinnish, that is half inch or so of wettish snow that when packed down becomes as slippery as almost skating on ice. Mainly because the tires compact this wet snow. And it doesn't, and the treads of these tires do not seem to break through to reach the pavement if the snow is steadily covering the surface. I found that particularly evident on driveways which hadn't been replowed. Some of the roads which hadn't had recent reapplication of snow melting material, and with the temperature hovering at around 30 degrees, which is, you know, below technical freezing temperature, but maybe not freezing, depending on what was on the surface. This was a very slippery surface to engage your tires and your vehicle on in turns and on sloped surfaces. It was so compacted and so ice-bound, I'm using that term for the show, that when I tried to back up a driveway with a less than 10-degree slope, all four wheels in my Cherokee were spinning, trying to get grip on the pavement, which it could not get down to because it basically ended up trying to go up a slight incline of ice. Now, that doesn't matter too much in a driveway because you're not out with other vehicles trying to maneuver down the roadway, but it could well matter on curving town roads that not had their road surfaces re-cleaned or reapplied with snow melting material. Jay, I don't know if you've ever been on this stuff, but it is crazy dangerous.
Yes, I was driving on it as well, and you're absolutely right. And just, you know, the overall reminder, we're going to have different variations of snow and ice and wintry conditions, and we just have to be careful. Say this about personal experience. I was driving my somewhat uncommon Volkswagen Touareg, which I've had for 4 years. But this is the first winter I actually drive it in winter conditions. And yesterday I had to come down an extremely steep driveway, a very long driveway, and kind of tricky. And I don't have snow tires on that car. And I put it in the off-road mode with the hill descent mode on, and it was amazing how the traction control and just and the ABS just kept this car at crawling speed all the way down that hill. Here's my point, and I only have two modes, road or off-road modes on this car, but my point is, if you have a vehicle that has, you know, off-road modes, dirt or snow, learn to use those modes because they work extremely well. The systems, these traction control and hill descent modes, work in conjunction with the ABS. And ABS, as we know, is able to apply brake pressure on every single wheel independently, something we can't do by using our feet on the brake pedal. So that's just my little tidbit about driving in the snow.
Well, I think, Jay, that's a very good comment to have about your particular snow off-road mode in your vehicle. Not many of the vehicles have off-road snow vehicle modes like that. I have a Cherokee which has a snow mode on its dial, but it is more a question of changing the transmission shift points, and it seems to be made for starting up on slippery roads by not starting you in first gear, and I think it uses either second gear or third gear even in some cases, depending on what the computer thinks the surface of the road is like. But it does not have an automatic braking mode going downhill. And I don't think any general passenger vehicles have this feature. I think your feature is in Trailhawk editions of Chrysler vehicles that have crawl modes in their low ranges, which are not available in the Cherokee or in the non-Trailhawk versions of these vehicles, of the Jeep vehicles that are out there. And I think the pickup trucks may have it also. But the Touareg has a very good computer system for doing what you told us it did. And when you started out saying going down a very long and dangerous steep driveway, brought back comments that when you weren't on the show with me, I was making back in the days of anti-lock braking arrival of anti-lock braking systems on vehicles, and I was complaining mightily to those who would listen on the show that I wish they had a turn-off feature available for those who would know how to use it, because when you go down the hill with anti-lock braking on conditions like you're talking about, and you have to brake yourself, very often the natural inclination is to press hard on the brake, activate the anti-lock braking, and I used to call it anti-stop braking, because the anti-lock braking mechanism or the computer program would keep the tires rolling as opposed to letting you stop the tires to build up maybe a mountain of snow between them or whatever, which might do a better job of stopping you at the bottom of that steep driveway or hill. Wells Hill Road in Lakeville, for those who know it, is one of those very dangerous downhills which T-bones right into Lime Rock Road, and they often put lots of sand on it, as well as maybe not enough. And anti-stop braking will do the same thing on sand that it can do on snow if you're going too fast by the time you reach the bottom of such a hill.
Yeah, you make a good point about the ABS, but I think that ABS has also evolved quite a bit. And what you're mentioning was true, I think, in the first generations of ABS braking, which now goes back almost 3 years.
That's correct.
I think
that's evolved a lot. I have not tested as much with the newer systems. I know the anti-lock braking on the Cherokees is very effective. It does allow, in my opinion, a more effective manual braking pressure mode situation, if you know how to do it, so that you can keep the vehicle right on the threshold of the automatic of the anti-lock braking going into action, so that you can try effectively to try to stop the vehicle without the anti-lock braking actuating, so that you get the effect that I'm trying to describe in this particular section of the show, to be more effective in slowing the vehicle down to a stop, which is doing it without the anti-lock braking going into action. I think the early versions of it tended to have it work over time and come into play too soon, which gives me the reason for complaining about the early anti-lock braking systems that I did last century or earlier in the show editions before you arrived. You were going to start talking about the year in review, Jay, I think, in terms of car of the year, truck of the year, SUV of the year, whatever other year, the man of the year, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you want to start it?
Yeah, sure. 2020 has been a crazy year, as we know, with the pandemic, overshadowing everything else. The car business went into had great issues, and car sales were way down, obviously, through the middle of the year. And sales have recovered pretty well in the later part of the year. Also, I think 2020 will be remembered as the year that the car business went all electric. Tesla's been leading the way, as we know, for a number of years, but what we call legacy manufacturers, the companies that have been around for about 100 years now making cars, are finally seizing the opportunity to go more in, you know, produce more electric vehicles. And there's a definite, I think a little late, by the way, intent to, you know, maybe go all electric in the next 10 years. And some companies are a little more bold than others. Volkswagen comes to mind, but yeah. Ford and GM are also making the claim that they will go all electric within, you know, the different dates, you know, you hear 2025, 2030, but it definitely is going to happen. It'll also be, and I don't want to get political here, but we do have a change in administration, and there will be changes in the future as far as maybe tougher emissions numbers. Over in the future, a push towards more infrastructure as far as electric charging stations, et cetera. So 2021 should be interesting.
I think it's going to be a transition year in the public's mind towards electric cars, too, much faster than what I've been complaining about for years when we had basically hybrids out and not true electric cars. And people just couldn't get their heads around how good a hybrid vehicle was. They kept thinking that they had to plug it in, and they had no knowledge of how simple the hybrid systems were in terms of basically not being any different than a pure gasoline-powered vehicle as far as service was concerned. As we know about the electrics, and when the public realizes that you have fewer parts in an electric vehicle, less maintenance, as we have mentioned briefly on a couple of earlier shows, last several months, such as no oil changes, no apparent lubrication level requirements, and you've got electric motors driving them, which are simply, you know, replace and remove and replace instead of working on them, rebuilding cylinder cores or whatever the gasoline engines do, are going to be very much more accepted. And as you noted, the charging stations are popping up all over the place. Tesla is the one that comes to mind because you see the stations very visibly in places like Stop and Shop parking lots and the like around urban areas. Dealerships have them. You have Tesla. All the electric cars come with pre-programmed or upgraded, updatable programs showing where all the electric plug-in places are so that people who have range anxiety, if they pay attention to their electric gauge like they don't to their gas gauges until the yellow or red lights are on, they probably are going to be able to find an electric place to recharge their vehicle before they have to worry about are they going to make it home or to their destination or not. But I think Tesla's got a lock on it. You know, I saw an ad for Tesla on the TV the other night, or I don't know if it was on TV, but it was somewhere. And you saw a row of Tesla vehicles going down the road, and I said, why would anybody want to buy anything else but a Tesla? The ad is so cool, and Tesla really is all over the place down here in Fairfield County, where I'm broadcasting from, taping from this morning. And they are all over our northwest Connecticut corner as well. And they just keep showing up on the roads faster than any of the other electric cars, which are available from Audi, and soon to be VW, I'm sure. VW, as you mentioned earlier, is, I think, going to be on an all-out course to electrify all their vehicles and try to really take Tesla on head-on. Would you agree, Jay?
Yeah, there are a few others, too. I mean, Hyundai and Kia have a great offering in the Kona and the Forte, I think it is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Brand.
And they are rushing for electric vehicles, electrified vehicles, too. That's for with plug-ins,
yeah,
and regular electric cars.
I have to say, I am, you know, I've mentioned this before. It'll be interesting to see what the VW ID.4 is like. And
I want to talk a little bit about the car SUV truck of the year, because none of them are really purely electric, so there's still a future, I guess, for the time being in internal combustion vehicles.
I believe you're right.
Even though the new car of the year, the Mercedes E-Class, not the base model, but the mid-range model, they is powered by an inline six-cylinder with a mild hybrid. And I know you and I have disagreed on hybrids in general. I always bring up the fact that, you know, hey, why have double the complications in having both an electric motor and a gasoline engine? But I may be wrong on this. And this inline six with a mild hybrid actually produces a good amount of power, and the car gets 30 miles per gallon. It's an E-Class Mercedes, so it's the middle. It's the middle model between the C-Class and the S-Class, and the E-Class is really the soul of the Mercedes-Benz car lineup. It is the original sedan. You know, I grew up in Europe, and 10, 20 years ago, and probably still now, you know, the E-Class was the most popular taxi, and in Europe, you have very base model E-Class Mercedes, and you know, people used to say, you know, I can't afford to drive anything else but a Mercedes because they were rugged, reliable, and inexpensive to operate. Obviously, that has changed quite a bit, but it's interesting that this E-Class is coming out, and it's got all the bells and whistles. You know, it's a very sophisticated car, and we have seen the technology trickle down from the S-Class over the last.
Yeah.
10 years.
Jay, mild hybrid is the key words that I wanted to pick up on it because I didn't know. I haven't been to an Audi dealership in a long time until recently, and I've also talked to a friend of mine who purchased an S6 sedan. Audi has slipped in mild hybrid versions of a lot of their lines of cars. The S6 is a mild hybrid. I didn't know. The A8 is a mild comes in a high,
yes.
in a mild yes. hybrid. It can't be far from the A4. I didn't think Audi was on board with any kind of hybridization. I thought they were going to go full until it hit the waves that they were going to move into it as we were going through the 2020s. But they're already on the showroom floors of these dealerships. And they do exactly what you say. They give a boost to the performance aspect as these vehicles, especially in the A8, which have come down to six-cylinder standard instead of the V8s. I'm not sure whether V8s are still available or not. But the mild hybrids give you ultra-good performance, as we have known about the Sonatas and the Camrys of earlier times.
Well,
when the battery has a good sense of power in it, which is always recharging while you're driving, it gives you a great accelerative forces for passing and for taking off from a stop light or merging onto an interstate. And so all these cars are already there. The Mercedes
yes.
class, E-Class that you're talking about is a prime example.
Yeah, and Ford is putting the new Ford F-150 also has a mild hybrid V6. EcoBoost engine with some electric power to it.
Can we get back to the car truck of the year as we're closing in our final minutes here? The Defender, I believe, is what is the category that it got the winner
the
of the year?
SUV of the year.
SUV?
Yeah.
Well, I've been seeing several of them down here in Fairfield County. They are getting on the roads. They are a fairly expensive line of vehicles out of Range Rover. And they certainly look like they are prepared to go off-road anytime you want to take them. They have a couple of things on them. The option list can make them go way up into the 70s and 80s, I'm sure, above the 50-plus thousand I think they start at, maybe high 40s. But they have various features on them, one of which got reviewed negatively in a couple of magazines, because it created quite a lot of wind noise at highway speeds, and that's some kind of little box thing that looks like it hangs off the rear quarter window, designed to store possibly emergency gear if you needed to get to something and you couldn't get in the vehicle to get it. I'm not sure what. But I'm underwhelmed by the live view of them on the street. They look a little small, even in four-door trim. It will be interesting to compare them with the new Broncos when they get out on the road, both the two-door versions and the four-door versions.
It surely will.
That won the whatever title it held for the year of 2020. And you're going to cover the rest of the field, I think. Toys.
Well, we covered the Mercedes, the E-Class being the car of the year. And this, again, is the awards by Motor Trend magazine.
Yeah.
And then there's the ridiculousness of the truck of the year, which is this year, again, a Ram, the Ram TRX, which is a 700-horsepower Hellcat-powered V8 pickup truck that starts at $70,000.
And like hell.
In my mind, it's just ridiculous. And when I read the reviews, you know, Motor Trend tries to make a case for it. I just think that 0 to 60 in 4 seconds in a pickup truck and quarter miles in 12 seconds is just ridiculous. And that's just the way I see it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not a truck of mass appeal, partly because of the cost and partly because of the ridiculousness of it. But you know what the Ford equivalent of that, as we know, the Raptor, is all over the place down here. Now, it's not as ludicrous as far as the power output of the Ram.
It's close.
Well, almost, but it doesn't feel as ludicrous in the type of truck it is as I think you're alluding to in the Ram version, the equivalent version of the Ram, 700 horsepower. This is remnant of the horsepower wars of the last century with the Corvettes and the Mustangs and the Camaros and all those. And we still have horsepower wars going on, but Ram is not stopping with their big V8s, and they're just ramping them up to incredible levels of output. Correspondingly, they get very lousy gas mileage, I'm quite sure.
Well, I think that we are going to run out of time imminently, but I think that we should definitely have a...
second round?
Basically, a car of the year... smackdown for the end of the year if you are both available next week.
Which absolutely.
Is just
let's
like,
do that.
Hey.
Jane and I will discuss all that because...
He's like, hey, this was chosen, and guess what? This is
limited to passenger vehicles, or are we going to think of vehicle of the year?
Yeah, all right. Well,
no matter
I like fun of the year, and there will also be a special bonus question, which is, hey, if you could, you know if life were normal... and this were the beginning of 2020, for example, just what would you want? In other words, I would like to do some post-pandemic planning going back to pre-pandemic times to just say, hey, yeah, there's this and it's cool, or there's this and it's really way more than, it's more, what do they say, more noise than, more flash than something.
Okay, and maybe in closing, I was going to discuss Car and Driver's 10 Best for 2020, which came out in the early stages of 2020, and Jay and I maybe we'll
do that.
Talk about
week.
Those and see whether we think any of them are losers in comparison to what Car and Driver was predicting as being the potential 10 best for the year of 2020 for the next show.
That sounds like a really good idea. And in the meantime. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.